Welcome to the Insurance Huddle, hosted by me, Dr. John Wales. This is the place to be for insurance brokers, agents, and agencies, where we break down topics important to the insurance community with insights from industry experts. Welcome to the Insurance Huddle, the place to be for agents, brokers, and agencies, where we break down topics important to the insurance community with insights from industry experts. Today's industry expert has over 20 years of experience in the health insurance industry and has a proven track record of success in risk management and business development. As the owner of Gideon Insurance, he has mastered the art of applying Lean Six Sigma methodologies to increase revenue, cut costs, and improve customer satisfaction. He is here today to help us improve our agencies by sharing knowledge of health insurance and the Affordable Care Act. Fellow agents, I would like to welcome to the huddle, Mr. Donnell Cox.
Hello, John.
Hey, welcome to the huddle, Don.
All right, good to be here.
Yep. So many of our agents are thinking about getting involved in other than just property and casualty. They're looking at other income opportunities and other ways to help their insureds, like through medical insurance. And most of our agents, again, are P&C focused and are looking for ways to get into that industry. What type of guidance do you think you can help give our agents?
The health insurance industry is a wonderful place to land if you are looking for a challenge, especially looking to increase, to make good money, I can say. I've never been to P&C, but I can certainly say that there are great opportunities in the health insurance world and so many different categories of our areas of focus that you can hone in on to more fit your personality and your lifestyle.
And what types of insurance and what personalities would that be?
Well, I kind of started out with, in terms of health insurance, with Medicare. Being a little bit older than most of the ages that you probably have, I kind of resonated with the Medicare crowd. And it's a totally distinct set of features that you would experience in the under 65 crowd. They're more mature. They've got probably more assets. The Medicare industry has been around for a while, a governmentally sponsored program, so fairly well defined. And it's got a lot more moving parts than you would think that there would be.
Okay, what are some of those moving parts? How would an agent get involved and educate themselves so that they would be able to get into selling that type of product?
Well, honestly, a lot of the information about getting into that field are actually online. I think it's Medicare.gov. You know, you can go out to the governmental sites, tons and tons of information, probably, but no one ever reads. Is available, but once you start with an agency, typically they do provide training programs for you when you first start. If you get your license from whatever state you're living in, go on to an interview with a brokerage, get hired, they'll train you on all the aspects of the insurance that you need to know and give you time to grow and actually get you into the field side by side with an experienced agent. So that you don't have to struggle for those first few weeks, you know, to get some on-the-job experience and get you up and running really quickly. And they're very thorough in the way that they've been doing it for a while. So they have all the materials and they know all of the cracks in the system and all the ways that you can stumble along the way and can help you. And so it's actually a fairly well-structured program.
So you would recommend starting off working for a broker and learning the ropes rather than trying to dive in and do it on your own?
Oh, definitely. I would definitely go to, there are many brokers out there that, and pick a name brand that you know and feel comfortable with, but yeah, they will definitely be more than happy to train you in the different aspects of Medicare, how to sell it, how the program works. Yeah, all of the details that you would need, they can actually provide that for you on the job.
So if I'm a property and casualty agent and I want to get involved in Medicare, do the brokers have an issue with the fact that health insurance may not be my main line of business?
No, because I've seen kids come right out of college with no industry experience in anything, sit down and start selling Medicare insurance within a few days, so maybe a week or so. You know, of course, you're in tandem with someone who is experienced so that you can learn on the job. because there are a lot of things, as you even with an experienced broker, there are going to be changes in the laws. There are different forms that you must fill out. You can't just go up and show it at someone's door and sell a life policy. You must make an appointment first and declare what you're going to be doing during that appointment that you're scheduling. There are a lot of little things like that that you will pick up on when you're with an actual broker, because you can't remember everything that you need to remember while you're out there in front of a client.
Yeah, I can't tell you how important it is to have a mentor when you're going into a new line of business. When I first started property and casualty, you know, I had some people that really helped me learn the ins and outs of the industry, and I'm forever grateful to them. So I imagine health insurance is pretty much the same.
Pretty much the same way. I would say it takes a while too. Once you even after you start selling, you really still aren't that very good at it, because you need to worry about, as you know, with tone of voice, connecting with the customer, understanding their situation and putting you mentally in their situation so that you can, calm them down, because people don't like to be sold to. And all the little typical sales tricks, along with the technical knowledge of the different policies have different features. And then you may have some things that you're really trying to, put forth yourself for them. So you have to be especially trained in those things. So there are a lot of moving parts, a lot of pieces, and just keeping it all together is from the mental game is very difficult sometimes.
So what advice would you be able to give our agents about connecting to their prospects in regards to Medicare insurance?
With regard to Medicare, I would just say, typically you want to, first of all, find out, they'll typically give you their demographic information first, their age, their medical history, if they, anything has happened in their life recently, like a death in the family or a spouse, if they're single, their income level, whatever you can find about them that's personal, find that out first. And then, as I said, building rapport with the person is very important, and not being too aggressive or sort of assertive with them. They don't like insurance agents who are pushy, or any salespeople who are pushy. Calming, slowing down, pacing yourself with them, and just becoming one with them is probably the way you would do any kind of insurance. Just connecting with them and then understanding their needs. First of all, the needs are most important, because you really can't sell anything with any kind of assurance if you don't meet their needs. If you just go there to sell what you want them to have, and also educating them, because insurance is very complicated and consumers typically don't know much about insurance. So making them feel that you're an expert and that you have their best interest in mind, I think is another key factor as well.
Oh, definitely. I have a saying. I said, people love buying, but they hate to be sold to. We walk into a Target or any retail store and we're grabbing stuff off the shelf, but heaven forbid we have to walk on a used car lot. We feel like there are vultures circling us. So yeah.
Yes, I heard that.
I can definitely relate to that. And Don, how has the Affordable Care Act, has that had any impact on Medicare?
On Medicare, no, but they're not really related. Medicare is 65 or above. The Affordable Care Act is for 64 and below. So although you may find people who have a disability who are eligible for Medicare, they could be 50, 52, but typically they can't get a policy if they've already got a Medicare policy. They have two different governmental programs that they're mutually exclusive from each other.
Okay, so again, I'm learning something new here. I didn't know that Medicare wasn't covered under the Affordable Care Act. Can you tell us a little bit about the Affordable Care Act? Because I know when it was rolled out, it was very controversial and it really changed the industry. And there have been updates to it. And a lot of the agents that I've talked to just want to avoid it because they're not sure exactly what it is. Could you help us understand a little bit of exactly what is the Affordable Care Act?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I would love to do that. The Affordable Care Act, I think, it has been a boon to my career, because it makes us, in the name, the Affordable Care Act, it's made insurance more affordable for people. And the way it's made it more affordable, it's not that the insurance policies have come down in price, it's because the government is kicking in a tax credit, essentially. They call it a tax subsidy. And also, they call it an advanced premium tax subsidy. So if it's February and you're wanting to buy an Affordable Care Act policy, and it is based upon your income, and you don't know what your income you can guess what your income is going to be for the whole year. So if you're not, even if you're not insured, if you just got a job, you don't have a track record with a job, or if you have unemployment insurance coming in right now for X number of months, you can sort of guess what your income is based upon that experience, what it will be at the end of the year, because that's the number they're going to use to base your tax subsidy upon today. So if your income is running anything around above $18,000 and $18,000 like that, you're going to receive a fairly large tax subsidy, because that policy, if the policy is $1,000, you may wind up only paying $50 or $60 for it, because they'll give you a tax subsidy to make up the difference. Now, if you're making $30,000, you'll get less of a tax subsidy, so you'll pay more per month. If you're making $50,000, you'll pay more even, because you'll get less and less of a tax subsidy the more you make for the year. And if you're making $100,000 a year, you probably will get no tax subsidy, very little, because you can afford to pay out of pocket. So it's designed for the people in the middle to lower income bracket. And so the less you make, the more tax subsidy you get. And this money every month is kicked into the insurance company on your behalf. So if the policy is $1,000 a month, you pay $100, the government is paying $900. And it's a really good deal for the person, really good deal for the insurance company, not so much of a good deal for the taxpayers. But it works out. And we as an insurance agent, you enjoy this opportunity, because now you've made it affordable for people. You can help people get health insurance, otherwise they wouldn't be able to. And it's, as I mentioned, it's a fairly good income for you. So, and it has, the market is marketed by the government, so you don't have to worry about marketing so much. Although people do put up websites and all that, almost everybody knows about. And everybody needs health insurance, and everybody wants health insurance. So it's an easier sell than not having the Affordable Care Act.
So one of the things I heard, the rumors going out there, is I know it's a federally subsidized health plan, but what about the coverages? How are the coverages the same as any other health plan that's available out there, or is the coverage different because of the federal subsidy?
In some states, the policies are the same, but in most states, they have their own exchange. Like I should mention, some states don't rely upon the federal system. They have their own system that they have created, like California, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, Washington State. They're like a mini, they've cloned the governmental program, and they manage it themselves. And also they kick in extra tax subsidy as well. So if you try to sell in California, when I sell in California, almost all my policies are on the exchange. I have very few opportunities off of the exchange. And if I do have opportunities off the exchange, they're typically short-term plans, which means they go by every 6 months, you have to renew it. And the coverage is not nearly as good. The coverage is, they could be lower in price, but the deductibles are much higher, like $10,000, $12,000, $15,000 versus $4,000, $5,000, $6,000 deductibles. One of the huge advantages of the Affordable Care Act is that they cover pre-existing conditions. So no matter what your health history is, what's going on with you right now, you can get a policy with the Affordable Care Act. Whereas with policies not on the health exchange, you can almost forget about it. If you got anything wrong with you, they will not give you the policy, or they'll give you a 1 year waiting period on those illnesses. So if we can, we steer people to the Affordable Care Act first to see if they qualify for a tax subsidy, which they're getting a much more benefit rich policy for less money, and it will cover pre-existing conditions.
Yeah, one of the reasons that we had to go that I'm appreciating your expertise here is that we've had several of our agents say that, they are selling multiple lines of insurance. They're trying to sell personal, home, and auto. They're trying to get into small business insurance, and yet they don't know enough about health insurance to be able to cross-sell their customers, and meet all of their customers' needs. So it's been shown that if the more lines of business you have with an insured, the less likely they are to shop you around and against other agencies.
Yes.
So what are some of the steps that you would recommend to our agents to be able to sell this and help retain some of their property and casualty customers? What are the steps on getting involved to be able to sell the ACA? And then once you're licensed to sell the ACA, how do you think that could be used as a cross-sell tool for agents that may be a little bit more PNC focused?
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah, you can actually go independent with your desire to sell health insurance. You can go directly to the government and obtain a certification. There is a certification process that you go to, similar to what you went through to get your license with the state that you're in. And once you have your personal certification, then you can approach insurance companies directly, like Blue Cross, Blue Shield, or AM Better, or Kaiser, or anyone like that, Molina, Oscar, any of the major health carriers, and you can become certified through them. You get an appointment through them. Now, if they say you've got to work through a broker sponsorship, then maybe that's what you'll need to do. But you can go directly also to these companies and obtain your appointment with them. And one of the advantages of going through a brokerage like I go through is that they provide all the infrastructure for me. You know, they provide a customer relationship management software. They provide leads. Leads are critical. And they provide leads, warm leads, all kinds of avenues of leads. So put up marketing and websites, text messages and things like that to draw people in. And also they have interfaces into the federal government's site for policies, also interfaces into the individual insurance carriers to consolidate all those products. So once I do a quote for them, once I gather the information, demographics, to get their needs, their medical needs, then the system can consolidate and present to me a list of policies available in their zip code, because health insurance is also by zip code as well, because not all policies are available everywhere. And to be able to sort them by price or by deductible or by whatever features that you're looking for. And then once you make the sale, and also managing your licenses, your different, if you sell in multiple states or different carriers, managing all your licenses. So it's good to go through a brokerage, otherwise you got to build all this stuff yourself. And also you can dial automatically instead of having to make your fingers shorter by dialing 400 numbers each day. You can push a button or have the system just dial for you. So yeah, that's why I go through a brokerage, because they've got all that heavy lifting done for me. I kind of walk in with the soft knowledge of the different policies and different procedures and laws and rules and all that, and focus on satisfying the customer's needs and matching them up with the policy. So if you're selling other insurance, if they say they need health insurance, you can simply switch over from this whatever system you have now to another system that's running your healthcare. I don't see that you could run this health insurance information with your current system, because I think it's probably too robust to have those two all in one. I would just suggest having a separate system for healthcare, and just once they say they want healthcare, just switch over. I have three screens here in front of me. Just have a different screen for healthcare and go that way. So yeah, it should be an easy thing to do if you got customers for auto or whatever you sell right now. Easy to just switch over to health if you got the knowledge and the systems already set up.
Yeah, that's a big point that you bring up, man. I'll tell you what, it doesn't matter the product knowledge that you could be a complete expert, but if you don't know how to get that in front of the right people, that really makes it difficult to sell.
Exactly.
You know, it's like one of my friends, Trey, told me that's like trying to sell a glass of water to a cactus. I mean, it's... You know, if you're talking to yourself rather than mm-hmm. talking to your leads, that makes it really mm-hmm. difficult to sell an insurance product.
Exactly. And even we have two different departments for we have a separate Medicare entity in our company. So you're either under 65 or you're over 60 or 65 and older. And never the twain shall meet. There's two totally separate systems.
So here's a question. So when you're prospecting, what are some of the pre-qualification questions are you asking? How do you engage with that prospect to get them interested in your health insurance product? And for example, I may have their home insurance. I may have their small business insurance. I'm more of a commercial insurance expert. I may have their workers' comp. Say I want to give a presentation to the employees of a company that I have workers' compensation with. Mm-hmm. What are some of the leading questions that you ask? I mean, how do you convince your prospects to let you to pay attention to your sales pitch?
Well, I'm in a little bit of a particular situation, because I receive leads qualified leads already coming to me. I don't have to prospect so much. But you've received pieces in the mail. I receive pieces in the mail all the time about healthcare, about Medicare, for example. And my wife receives, and she'll come to me and she'll ask me, what is this? She'll already be enrolled in a plan, and she's receiving this information that says, oh, you may be entitled to this, the loss of change. People, the public doesn't have sufficient knowledge to be able to filter out what's real and what's not real in the marketing perspective. So you just have to find people who typically are over 65, and every year they have to re-up for a policy. So if it's toward the end of the year, you can simply find out if they currently have Medicare. If they currently have Medicare, they're probably going to be looking at another policy beginning about the middle of the year. They're going to want to start thinking about switching to a different plan that has better benefits or reducing their costs. Usually it's because they're not happy with the deductible they have. They had a big expense and they didn't expect that expense, so they're unhappy and they're going to want to change. So usually the change will come from within. They'll want to change for some reason, something that's happened, some experience, the bad experience they've had. Very few are just happy with what they got and don't want to change. So almost anyone who's got Medicare will be wanting to look, will want to look at a policy for the future, for next year, because the deductibles increase every year, the max out of pockets increase every year, and the premiums can go up every year. So they're always looking for a better deal. And then things like ancillary supplemental benefits like dental and vision and hearing, which typically have not been covered in the past, are starting to be covered now. So they may want to have those services, or even gym memberships, things like that. Whatever the new thing is on the block, people may be interested in hearing about to enhance their experience and get better benefits.
Okay, so again, I'm not very familiar with the health insurance. So you're saying there's supplemental coverage available for dental, vision, hearing, and even gym memberships available?
Oh yeah, definitely. And first of all, if I can back up a little bit, Medicare insurance itself doesn't cover 100% of what your needs are. It only covers about 80%. So that remaining 20% has to be covered somehow, should be covered somehow. It's going to come out of your pocket, or it's going to be covered by another insurance. They bolt on another insurance plan called a Medigap insurance, which covers the remaining 20%. And that's a whole universe within itself, the Medigap insurance, the medical supplement insurance. So there's different plans. They must have 6 or 7 different plans, plan A, B, C. It's like an alphabet soup of supplemental plans, and all have different features and benefits which may better suit what the customer's needs are. And also, well, I should also say Medicare has like 4 parts to it, Part A, Part B, Part C, and Part D. Now, Part A covers the basics. Everybody gets Part A, and that's, I think it's free from the government. And Part B is optional, but there's a deductible associated with it every month. So you pay $130 a month or whatever it is for the deductible for Part B.
And what coverage does coverage A contain, and what coverage does coverage B contain? I'm not understanding the differences of coverage.
Yeah, great question. Part A, yes, like it covers inpatient care in the hospital, skilled nursing facility, nursing home, hospice care, home health care. It covers those kinds of things. And Part B covers things like other things that are medically necessary. Let's see, things like clinical research, ambulance services, durable medical equipment, mental health, inpatient and outpatient. So it's not really a supplement to the Part A, but it's together they give you the complete medical package that you need. But the benefit amount doesn't cover but 80%. And so you'll need another plan to cover the other 20%, which is when you get into the different, I mentioned the alphabet soup plans in the supplemental policies. And also then Part C is something called Medicare Advantage. Now, with Part A and Part B, that's coming directly from the government to you. Now, with Part C, the government allows insurance companies to come in and supplant Part A and Part B. They take over Part A and Part B. Instead of that money being paid out on your behalf, the money is going to the insurance companies to provide that insurance service to you. And then the insurance companies will enhance it. They'll do things like give you a 0 monthly premium, but they'll give you a higher deductible, or they'll switch around the different features of that plan to make it more attractive to individuals. So some people have Medicare Part C. So it's just a different, it's the same as Medicare A and B together, but it's more of a complete plan that's provided by an insurance company. instead of by the government. And Part D covers prescriptions, prescription services. So if you want medications covered, and when you become Medicare eligible, you got to have Part D. And in fact, if you don't sign up for Part D this year when you first are eligible, and you wait till 2 or 3 years down the road, and say, "Oh, I think I need prescription coverage," you sign up at that point, then they're going to penalize you for not having signed up back when you were 65. And so again, a lot of moving parts to it, and you kind of learn these things by being penalized by them, you know. So it's kind of the way Medicare works. You got your Part A, Part B, and then a supplement, or you've got Part C, which is all inclusive, but it's provided by a company versus the government, and then Part D.
Wow, that is a lot of alphabet soup there. I know as a property and casualty agent, most of my involvement in medical insurance was related to workers' compensation. So I would come into a business, and again, workers' compensation is mostly compulsory in many states. So I would come in and I would sell the workers' comp insurance, and then to increase retention, I'd say, you know, I also sell for XYZ medical company. You know, let's see if we can put together a plan that would help save your employees money on their health insurance, which might have an impact on reducing your workers' comp premium. So that was my angle, and that's my involvement of health and medical insurance. But one thing I noticed is that as I was writing these commercial policies, and the largest policy I wrote was for about 1,500 employees, and the retention level on policies that I had more lines of business with was extremely better than somebody I had a single line of business with. So when I would do the commercial insurance, I would walk in to the business owners. Not only would I, you know, sell the business owner on the commercial insurance, but then also I would develop a quote unquote package for here's what I can do for medical and health. And then here's what I can do for your employees, homeowners, renters, and auto. And I would always approach it as a package. And by doing that, my retention was almost 90%, some of those customers. So not only was I making a commercial sale, but then I was also selling health insurance. And then I would bring in some personal lines. So I think, you know, as an industry, we tend to segment, okay, this is personal lines, this is commercial, and this is health insurance. But I think we sometimes forget that we're all trying to help the same people.
Yes.
And I really am pushing for our agents and pulling and rooting that we can learn how to offer as many solutions to our insureds as we can.
Yeah, I think that's a very good point, because even in my business, when I sell a health insurance policy, a non-Medicare health insurance policy, I have a supplemental plan, which we try to bundle in, because all health insurance policies have holes in them. They have places where the insured has to pay out of pocket, or even just co-pays to see the doctor or to see a specialist, or for surgeries, or for going to the lab, getting x-rays, CAT scans, MRIs, durable medical equipment, acupuncture, chiropractic, anything that has that the customer needs, they're going to have to come out of pocket with something. So we try to bundle in a supplemental plan. For example, we have an accident policy. So if you go to the hospital because you had an accident, well, a lot of folks say, well, I have accident insurance through my car, but what if you're not in your car? What if you fall off a ladder? Me, last year, I fell off the back of a truck and busted my knee. And so that was an accident. So these accident policies, they're very cheap insurance, and they will pay, you know, say up to $25,000. You pick what level you want. So if you have an accident, they could break a bone, laceration, or burn, whatever, you go to the hospital. Some medical policies say, you have to satisfy your deductible first, which is like $5,000. And then we'll give you, you pay 20% of your bill, of your emergency room bill or your hospital bill. Well, that's what you would. So now you're paying retail for your emergency room visit. So instead of doing that, then you can just rely upon your accident policy and file a claim. Once you get your bill to the emergency room, just file your claim with the accident policy, and then they'll send you the check, and you just pay it, and you're done. You don't have to come out of your pocket with anything. Same with critical illness. Say you get a heart attack or a stroke, or you have a diagnosis of cancer, or you require an organ transplant. Well, critical illness policy will pay a lump sum that you've already enlisted in and you're paying monthly for. And you simply, hey, show them, give them a copy of your diagnosis that's in your check. So you can use that money to pay your medical bill, your deductible, your max out of pocket, your co-pays, or you can just take it and go to Disneyland or whatever you want to do with it. It doesn't matter because it's insurance and it's just in case something happens. Same with dental insurance and vision insurance as well. So these things are just insurance that you can use to maintain yourself or as preventative or in case something major happens, you've got the insurance to back you up. So once you start bundling these all together and making a complete package, we call it a full circle of benefits because we know that the health insurance policy by itself is going to occasion the person to pay out of pocket and they're going to hate that. So we just try to cover all bases.
Yep. I know insureds, when something happens, the last thing they want to do is pay their deductible. I think that's common in health and in property and casualty.
Yes, it is.
So Don, we appreciate you joining the huddle today. So can you give our listeners some contact information if they have any questions or interested in getting involved in selling your health insurance? How would they contact you?
Yeah, the easiest way to get a hold of me is just send me an email to my email is donellcox@hotmail.com or gmail.com. My name is DonellCox all together at hotmail or gmail.com.
So listeners, if you are interested in health insurance and cross-selling health insurance to your property and casualty customers, you have an industry expert here in your back pocket. Thank you very much, Don. I appreciate you joining our podcast.
Thank you, John, for having me. It was a lot of fun. Thank you so much.
That's it for this edition of the Insurance Huddle. We'll see you next time. In the meantime, be sure to check out our Facebook page and Medium blog, linked in the description box down below, for more great resources. This podcast has been brought to you by CoverWallet for Agents, the easiest way for insurance agents to quote, bind, and service their small business clients. All online and in minutes.